Hello and welcome to a brand new season of the Final Siren podcast. I'm your host, Peter Williams, and I'm back with Michael Alvaro to chat all things men's pathway football. Michael, how are things?
Yeah, really good. It was fantastic to get back to the football over the weekend, and yeah, really excited to chat all things football with my great mate, Peter Williams.
Absolutely. It was good to see the return of the footy for the boys pathways. Of course, Coates Talent League got underway, Sample Under 18s. And of course, we've got a Northern Academy prospect who starred at VFL level. So what we're going to do is we'll start with the Talent League. And Saturday doubleheader will begin with Northern and Western, with the Knights getting up by 43 points at Trevor Barker Oval. Michael, who were a couple of the standout performers in your eyes?
Yeah, I think really the two best draft prospects on display there were both on the Northern Knights side. So Zach Johnson, the main man through midfield there on the winning team, he was fantastic in the first half, really impressive. Just a high footy IQ and knows where to find the ball. And Jesse Dettoli, similar in terms of his smarts, but just really lively when the ball enters his area. He played through midfield, I guess, more and more as the game went on. But as a base, he's a really crafty and clever forward. So I think in terms of draftability, those were the two standouts there.
Yeah, and there were a few more that obviously, as it happens with every game, a few others that sort of stand out and step up. It is only round one, but who were the couple that perhaps caught your eye that were, I guess, you weren't expecting as much as some of the others?
Yeah, well, obviously you sort of jot down going into the game, maybe a few of the, you know, representative hub members and all that, and that's Johnson and Dettoli. But outside of that, big key forward Thomas Sims, 199 centimetres. He started in the ruck, ended up with 5 goals. So it was really dangerous once he went forward. And during a patch in the third term, he kicked 3 consecutive goals, and it ended up being 3 of, you know, the next 4 in that period, and really turned the game for Northern when Western equalised. So he was a key factor there and tests really well for a guy his size. I think he has a sub-8 second agility test, which is outstanding at his height. The other one I want to mention, obviously, is Lucas McInerney, the wingman. He's pretty used to winning that outside ball and can do damage there with his kicking as well. So he had the ball 28 times and kicked a couple of goals. Is really, really good. So a few really handy performances from the Knights and a hot start for them.
Yeah, and of course we have just talked about the Knights, but there was another team that played that match, and that was the Western Jets. Unfortunately, like, we know that they've only got the one Victorian hub member, so how did they go, and how do you assess the Jets for the season ahead?
It's hard because I think they came out with a lot of vigour and hit the ground running in that game. It was a really entertaining game, 30 goals kicked, so they can't really be faulted for that. But ultimately, they fell away in the second half and probably don't have the depth of top-end talent that pretty much all of the other regions do, really, particularly in a metro sense. But Luca Grego is their man in midfield, had 22 touches and kicked a goal. He's just super tough and reliable. And I think really at metro level, he's going to play as a defender, and maybe that's where he fits in at the next level. But in terms of importance to a team, he's right up there for Western. Thomas McGon's another one that we should probably touch on. He's a Collingwood father son for next year. Diminutive player, really smart. And they do have a few of those, the Jets. Guys like Daniel Snell and Massimo Razzo, the latter two being top ages. Just clever players who are probably, you know, might not be full-time midfielders at the next level, but they're going to get some good exposure there in the Coates Talent League.
Yeah, and so that wraps up that performance, and we move on to RSEA Park, just down the road, where we saw Sandringham Dragons knock off Calder Cannons by 50 points. Obviously, the Cannons started really strongly. They did have a breeze, and then Sandringham sort of clicked into gear after that and never really looked back. The main talking point out of the game was, of course, a bit of a tag. So how did you sort of see that, I guess, match up, and who was it that really caught your eye?
Yeah, we can't call it a tag, unfortunately, in this league, because they're not allowed. But there definitely was some close attention being paid by Damon Hollow to Levi Ashcroft. And really, I mean, in terms of who had the last laugh, Levi did. He kicked the last goal of the game, and his team won by 50 points. So his stats read pretty well as well, 21 disposals and 2 goals. So he would have been really happy coming away from that. obviously pretty visibly frustrated during the contest and lashed out a little bit, you know, that he was involved in plenty of chat, plenty of niggle, gave away a 50-metre penalty. So he was around the action, that's for sure. And credit to Hollow as well, you know, he played that role in the first half but then was freed up a lot more and, you know, he had 20 touches himself, kicked a goal. And in terms of intensity and competitiveness, like, there really weren't many players that beat him for that across the day. So he was fantastic and really damaging with his long kicking and his speed.
Yep. The Dragons as a whole, of course, look like the team to beat this year. And I know you wanted to speak about Sandringham's depth and I guess the high volume amount of players that are either rep members or potential draftables come end of year.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous, really, how many good players they've got. And they're going to lose a lot of them sort of during the middle of the year with the APS system and the nature of that. But, you know, a guy like Taj Hodden has 28 touches in a relatively new sort of greater midfield rotation. Murphy Reid was his usual self. He's a fantastic player, played on both sides of midfield. Luke Traynor, you know, 194 centimetres, kicks a ball like a small. Sam Marshall, a real workhorse through the midfield. So these guys are well-known quantities, and we'll touch on a few of the surprise packets as well. But in terms of just the high-end quality and class, you really can't look past the Dragons.
Absolutely. They've certainly got a lot of talent there. Now, you did mention some surprise packets. So who are some of the players who perhaps, you know, caught your eye outside the regular suspects?
Yeah, I guess the ultimate wild card at the moment is Nathaniel Sulzberger, and he's been identified as one who could really rocket up the rankings. Obviously, a really powerful unit. He's sort of got that quality a little bit like Bailey Humphrey, where he's just so strong as a forward and through midfield. He can take contested marks. He can leap at the ball, kick long goals. He's a really exciting player to watch, and obviously being a Tasmanian will likely slot into the Allies setup where he isn't or wasn't during preseason. So one to watch there. I was really impressed with Harry Oliver, the small defender who really was incisive with his ball use. He's a left footer and super effective in that regard. Another one I want to touch on, Bailey McKenzie. He's got some really mercurial traits as a forward at 191 centimetres and kicked a couple of really handy goals. So they've got so many players that we talk about the depth. Like, these guys are coming through as well, and they're going to make an impact on the Coates Talent League season for sure.
No, absolutely. And speaking of Sulzberger being a Tasmanian, the Devils probably could have used him because they went down to Murray Bush Rangers by 27 points in the other game on Saturday up at Highgate Recreation Reserve in Craigieburn. Michael, it was all the Murray Bush Rangers show, but they had plenty of high-scoring goal kickers.
Yeah, so three of their players kicked 4 goals each, which is a heck of a feat, and they've got such a dangerous forward line. So those three players combined for 12 of the 15 goals overall for the team. Spearheaded by Jack Whitlock, of course, 199 centimetre tall, who can also roll through the ruck. He kicked 4-4 from 20 touches and 7 marks. So heck of a game from him. Joe Berry kicked 4, rolled through the midfield as well. Bit of a smaller and craftier sort of player. And Josh Murphy, the power forward, a guy sort of in the mould of Braden George. Think of that sort of 190 centimetres, can mark overhead and kick goals from anywhere. That's him. So a lot of talent. Exciting times for the Bushies because they had the same, I guess, measure of talent last year without the results, but now it looks like they're going to be able to put some results together.
Of course, we've had plenty of twins over the years who have been able to play at either ends through the Talent League and are now playing at AFL level. Tell us a bit about the Whitlock twins and, I guess, comparing them.
Yeah, so Jack, as I've touched on a little bit, is probably the more physically strong and ready of the two. He's a couple of centimetres taller and plays up forward and through the ruck. So that showed really in his performance on the weekend and what he could be pretty soon. Matt is the defender of the two. And he's a lot more raw, really athletic as well, covers the ground super well, is fantastic aerially and just has a lot of high-end potential. So it seems as though Jack's sort of come on a bit quicker, but Matt could join him really in a flash and certainly has a lot of great traits about him.
And along with some of those top ages, there are a stack of bottom ages that also caught your eye during that win. So who were some of the players that really stood up?
Yeah, we love a few of the bottom ages there for Murray. Guys who starred at the under-16s National Championships. So Riley Onley is one. Of course, a former Rookie Me Academy athlete, so close to our hearts. But he captained Vic Country in last year's under-16s carnival, and he's going to be an asset, a really tall and unique midfielder. Ryder Corrigan's one who's a little bit in the same boat. He played for the Giants Academy, along with Harry Wilson, who's a tallish defender. All three of them move really well for their size. They're dynamic players. They can hurt the opposition. So looking forward to seeing what they can do over the next couple of seasons.
Yeah, and moving on to the Sunday action, we had what I guess most people would have suggested as game of the round. You had two of the title contenders, potentially two of the top ones, maybe outside of Sandy, obviously, battling it out at Trevor Barker Oval. Michael, did it live up to expectations?
Yeah, I think so. Particularly in the second half, I reckon a lot of the top-end players that we'll touch on sort of struggled to get going and be dynamic and find space because there's so much quality, you know, in the same centre bounce rotation. So, you know, they're all vying for little moments, and that ended up opening up in the second half, and we got to see some of the quality of all these players. So it was great to watch.
Of course, there were five top 10 prospects afield, the AFLW Academy members from Jagger Smith, Finn O'Sullivan, Tom Gross, Josh Smiley and Christian Moraes. Who stood out the most for you from that group?
I think in terms of game winners, and Easton won the game by 28 points. Can't really look past Josh Smiley. He's going to really push to be taken number one this year at 194 centimetres. The way he moves, like he could be almost a more athletic Patrick Cripps because he's got the contested craft, the stoppage nous, obviously the size, but he's really versatile too and has that turn of speed and power. So he had 24 touches and kicked two goals. Obviously a really outstanding goal in the third quarter as well. And I think stood up when the game was on the line, when it was pretty close and, you know, Easton were looking to break away. He was one who really took the game by the scruff. So he was our player of the week as well, which goes to show that I probably rated his performance the best out of the lot. But out of the guys you mentioned, four of them were the top four ball winners afield. So they all had a decent day out for sure.
And you sort of mentioned that potentially he got stepped up in that second half. I guess it was the same for quite a few of those top liners. Was there potentially the pressure going around for those players to really put on a show in front of a packed house of recruiters?
Yeah, I think all of them were well aware of the sort of, not ramifications, but I guess the sort of expectation going into the game. And all of them, you know, with the coverage now of the draft sort of know where they sit at this stage. There's a lot of footy to be played, but they know of the talk and the hype and all the posts and social media and whatnot. So they're aware of it, and they may have felt a bit of the pressure early on, but once the footy started, they blew out the cobwebs and, you know, Jagger Smith had 30 touches, fantastic. Tom Gross, busy as usual. Christian Moraes kicked a couple goals. And of course, Finn O'Sullivan, the poor bugger, he's probably the front runner, and we'll touch on this a bit further, but definitely the number one prospect. He ended up, I believe, fracturing his hand or a thumb, so was injured throughout the game and soldiered on to 15 touches. So we'll see how that affects him, but wasn't at his best, obviously, but still managed to showcase a bit of his class too.
Yeah, and you have sort of alluded to the fact that perhaps Smiley is someone who could take that number one spot. Well, how do you sort of see it between him and O'Sullivan and perhaps the points of difference between them?
Yeah, so, I mean, it'd be hard to limit, you know, the pick one conversation to just them. I think Jagger Smith's going to be right up there as well, and there's no reason why Moraes and Gross can't be top five players too. Finn O'Sullivan's just the all-rounded one. He's got very few weaknesses. For a player his size, he's terrific overhead. He's tough. He's got a really booming kick, uses the ball beautifully. You see, like every time he goes inside 50, he tends to make something happen. So he's got everything. But if you're looking, you know, for upside and, you know, projecting players' talent, then Josh Smiley's that guy. Clubs were, you know, looking for those prototypes, those tall midfielders for a long time there, and Smiley at 194 centimetre, like, that's the next cab off the rank. So he could be anything. He definitely showed that on the weekend, and it's fantastic to watch all those guys in action on the same park, and they're all going to be Vic Metro teammates eventually. So that's going to be a heck of a championships team to watch for sure.
Absolutely, and we move from, of course, a team that had all its stars out on the park to one that didn't in GWV. Unfortunately, they did get done by the Pioneers by 3 goals on Sunday, but there were some excuses. They were missing, well, I think it's fair to say their 3 best players who fill 3 different lines. So, Michael, tell us a bit about, I guess, their injury list at the moment and whether you have concerns about how they'll go to start the season.
Yeah, obviously a pretty tough break for the Rebels. They have been one of the most talented squads over the last 2 seasons. Obviously, they lost in the finals last year, playing a home final in Geelong, which was something. But this year, obviously, Sam Lawler, their powerful midfielder, Flynn Penry, the ruck, and Jonty Fall, the key forward, they're all missing and will miss a little bit of time to start the year, which is really unfortunate. We want to see the best players out there, and I mean, there's not much you can do about injury. They showed up during preseason. It unfortunately didn't work out for them. But missing them will be really hard on the Rebels, and that showed a little bit. Their depth of talent is still strong. They've got a lot of guys who could make the grade at AFL level, but they just couldn't get the job done against a Pioneer side that has its own class and really battled hard and might surprise a few teams this year too.
Yeah, and unfortunately from the game, the Pios had their own injury concern from a top liner, so not great for either side before and during the game. So who were they going to potentially miss for a little while?
Yeah, I think it'll probably just be Archer Day-Wicks with a corky picked up. He got hit pretty hard, and with a short turnaround, of course, with the Easter weekend games being played mostly on Thursday and Friday, he's likely to miss that game. So he's so classy. He only had 11 touches and kicked a couple of behinds, but we know what he can do. He's got a Puma contract as well, so he's going to get those flashy boots and a bit of spotlight, a bit like Harley Reid did from the Pies as well last year. So he'll be missed, but hopefully just for only a week.
Yeah, and well, that's enough of the injuries. Let's talk about the actual game. Who are some of the players who really stood out for you?
Yeah, I loved the game of Toby Trevallier. He's a bit of a modern-day footballer. He works pretty hard, and he had 30 touches and 10 marks as a defender, rotating through the midfield. So he was super. They had guys like Tom Evans and Lockie Hogan, who are smaller players but work really hard and can accumulate possessions. Dayton Urata, who's their captain, was hard at it through the midfield, and obviously Job Shanahan's a star up forward, and I was really impressed by James Barrett as well. He's one who I believe had some injury troubles last year and didn't really play much, but he had 8 scoring shots, 3 of them being goals on the weekend. He's 193 centimetres and just seemed to manufacture scoring chances from nowhere at times. Like when he wasn't sort of leading out and jumping at the ball, he just managed a shot on goal out of nothing. And you didn't kick all of them, but it was certainly dangerous, that's for sure.
Absolutely, and we move on from that game to the final game of the round, which in the end was the match of the round in terms of the scoring, I guess, in terms of the result. It was looking all the way of the Stingrays up until the last kick of the game where Geelong essentially snatched the victory. Michael, tell us a bit about that final finish.
Yeah, interesting one, because obviously, as you say, Dandenong led pretty much from the get-go. They led for 97 of 100 minutes, essentially, which is incredible, and not to win the game. Falcons went ahead at just over 16 minutes into the last quarter, only for the Stingrays to edge back ahead. And then Zach McInnes, of course, popped up. I believe he was taken out of a marking contest, got the free kick and slotted the set shot. Siren blew and the Falcons were winners. So it's cool to get those sort of results, the drama and whatnot. But yeah, Stingrays can still be proud of how they went for sure.
Yeah, not sure the Stingrays would think it was so cool. But someone who did stand out from the Stingrays was Harvey Langford, who you wanted to sort of mention about his performance.
Yeah, I think he was the standout really across both sides in terms of draftability and star power. Like he was it. He had 21 touches, took 7 marks and kicked 3 goals. And I really liked a friend of ours, Ed Pascoe, what he said actually. He sort of turned into Kyle Langford, a guy who obviously played a lot of junior football as a midfielder. Now he's kicked 50 goals at AFL level in a season for Essendon. And Harvey Langford's got similar kind of potential. He's 190 centimetres. He's a really strong ball user through midfield on his left foot. Obviously has the size. And as far as overhead marks go, for a non-key position player, he's outstanding, like unbelievable, some of the marks that he was clunking inside 50. So he's going to be really dangerous in those two lines for not only Dandenong, where he's a co-captain, but also Vic Country, where he could again take on some leadership responsibility.
Absolutely. So that wraps up our Coates Talent League boys, weekly wrap looking at each of those games. But we're going to cross the border over to South Australia for the Sample Under-18s. But before we get into that, of course, Michael, give us a bit of an update into some of the top prospects.
Yeah, so we're going to miss out on seeing a lot of Sid Draper early in the year. Of course, he's had some stress fractures and a really interrupted preseason. He didn't look his best at preseason testing. You could tell he was a bit flat and a little down on his usual results. And he knew that. I think it was obvious that there was probably something wrong. Obviously, it's a pretty hard yakka preseason running about with the seniors, and he played a lot of footy there last year at league level with South Adelaide, but seems to have taken a toll early in his top age season. But in terms of professionals as juniors, he's right up there, and I'm going to fully back him to make a pretty swift recovery for sure.
Absolutely. And who are some of the other players that are set to, come out or set to play, at perhaps more senior levels?
Yeah, so Tyler Welsh is, the obvious one. He's signed or tied to Adelaide and their Sample team from Woodville West Torrens. Obviously a father-son prospect there. So he'll likely hit the ground running with the Crows. And if he doesn't play league footy there, he'll be back at under-18s with the Eagles. The Eagles also have Cade Herbert, a really classy midfielder who did play some league footy last year as well. And I'll touch on a couple of WA players, probably their top prospects in Bo Allen, a tall defender, and Malachi Champion, an electric small forward who will likely start out in the Sample seniors, the Waffle seniors, I should say, when that swings around this week. So they've been training with the big boys over pre-season and should get a start there, which would be pretty good to watch.
Yeah, and of course, moving back over to the Sample Under-18s, there were a couple of, father-son guns performing. You took a look at, a pair of twins that are close to your heart as a Carlton fan. How did you sort of see them perform?
Yeah, the Camprialis are who you're alluding to, of course, Lucas and Ben, both playing for the Bays of Glenelg, who, had a pretty big win over West Adelaide, who, of course, don't have any members in the state summer training squad. They ran away with the game, and Lucas had 34 touches, Ben had 31, and 4 behinds, just quietly. Lucas was everywhere in the opening stages. He had over 10 touches within about 5 minutes, which is ridiculous. Ben had a bit less, presence at the centre stoppages, but they both played through the middle, Lucas rotating back, Ben rotating forward, as his 4 behinds would suggest. They obviously were some of the higher class players in that game. There's Kai Burgoyne, played as well, who's eligible with Hawthorn and Port Adelaide. So, they stood out though, really, Lucas and Ben Campriali in a big win. So exciting times for Carlton fans, and they could be a couple of mid-rangers that, get a few clubs talking.
Yeah, and of course, Rome Burgoyne and Phoenix Hargrave are another couple you want to highlight?
Yeah, Rome Burgoyne, another father-son. We're going to touch on them ad nauseum with this South Australian crop, but he had 26 touches in the South Adelaide against Woodville West Torrens game. Of course, Rome is playing for the Eagles and really classy ball user across half back, likes to cut and change the angles, take the game on. He was only beaten on the stat sheet in the way of disposals by Phoenix Hargrave, who is not a father-son prospect, but he had 29 touches and kicked a goal in a losing effort. So, hard at it. Really competitive midfielder who's going to be one to watch out of SA.
Yeah, and another common name you'd have to say over in SA, Louis Montgomery. How did he perform?
Fantastic. Let all comers in the game between North Adelaide and Norwood. That was a tight one, which saw North Adelaide get up by 5 points. So great result for them. And good that he's had a good start to the season, because he hasn't really had a pre-season in the last few years, but he's gotten to kick his season off on the right foot, so that's positive. North also has access to Taj Murray, who, of course, was Northern Territory's MVP at last year's under-16s champs, and Blake Orchard-Benier was one of South Australia's leaders at the same championships as well. So they got some exciting young talent for sure.
And before we do wrap up, just worth mentioning the Eagles, Sturt, North and Glenelg all picked up wins. Was there anything you wanted to add from a, I guess, overall game perspective or the league?
Not in particular. It was great, obviously, that the under-18s and 16s kicked off in SA and, of course, in Victoria and with Tassie as well. It's going to be great to watch the Northern Academies come into action soon. And we touched on at the start of the show, Leo Lombard, of course, playing VFL footy for the Suns. He had 28 touches and obviously played in last year's premiership there, which is exceptional. Like, he's, just an extraordinary talent, really. And he should really be in good stead once the Northern Academies play in the Talent League. So excited to see him go about it quite shortly.
Certainly is going to be a really huge talent once again out of those academies. Michael, before we wrap up the show, what else is happening this weekend? Because, of course, it's Easter weekend, so there's short turnarounds, there's doubleheaders, there's plenty of action across the entire state and, you know, in some cases, country. So tell us what's happening.
Yeah, so obviously, if a few of the boys who played last week have some niggles, it's not going to be ideal turning around off, you know, 5 days to play in round two, particularly in the Coates Talent League. We've got a great double header on Thursday night at GMHBA Stadium between the Geelong Falcons and GWV Rebels. Of course, in the boys category, this is a rematch of last year's final series where the Falcons upset the Rebels, and the girls are playing as well for the first time on GMHBA Stadium, which is fantastic. So I know you'll be there and that'll be great to watch. There's also a double header at Belvedere Reserve out in Seaford. Gippsland's going to be playing for the first time this year. They've got guys like Ricky Mentha, Xavier Lindsay, Willem Dersma for next year, of course. So we'll be talking plenty about all of them. And, I mean, match of the round, it's hard to look past Sandringham coming up against Oakley, the traditional rival in this competition at RSEA Park, a standalone game on Saturday afternoon. So get down there. It's going to be packed out, I reckon, and just so much talent there. So really looking forward to another bumper weekend, of course.
Yeah, absolutely looking forward to it all. That's all we have time for, though, on the latest edition of the Final Siren podcast. I've been your host, Peter Williams. Michael, thanks for joining me again today.
Pleasure as always, mate. Love getting out and watching the footy and being there with you for the time being before the girls get underway. So, always a bit of fun.
Yeah, that's very sweet of you. But what we've got to do is wrap up this podcast. So be sure to stay tuned to Rookie Me Central for all the news and analysis. And follow us at Rookie Me Central on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. You can subscribe to us on all your favourite streaming services to never miss an episode. That's all for now. We hope you tune in next week.